Let us look to the Lord for a moment. Our loving Heavenly Father, Father of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank Thee for Thy infinite love. We thank Thee for the love of the Son to the Father. When the question was posed, who shall go for us? He could say, here am I, send me. And He knew full well what was involved. Something that we will never learn of, those of us that know Christ as Savior. But for those that may be outside of the household of faith, they have eternal damnation facing them. But this wonderful man, the last Adam, that perfect man, being God, he was able to, in a few hours, pay for what the sinners that are in hell and the devils for whom hell was made, he was able to pay for that punishment in that length of time. Our little minds cannot grasp it. And when he cried out, Eli, Lama, Sabathani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's speaking not as God the Son, but as that perfect man. Utter desolation for each of us. Now, as we go into thy word, we just trust that we might see Christ in that word. For we know that all scripture points to the Christ of Calvary. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Now, just along another thought. When we were at the breaking of bread, there's quite a bit of mentioned about his physical suffering. But did you ever think, do you ever read anywhere where the Lord was ever sick from childhood up? Do you ever read that he so much as stubbed his toe? Major was over at our house yesterday and running and tearing along, coming down a hill, he stepped in a hole and he got all bruised up and banged up his knee. That's, you think, almost normal for children, boys in particular. You don't ever read of that with the Lord. Why is there sickness? Why is there injuries? It's not because one is a greater sinner than another. We're all sinners. It's because we are sinners. And these things never happened until sin entered the scene. And the first time that he took physical punishment was when those centurions, possibly not the officers, but the men, laid that awful scourge upon him. Most here have heard this before. I was born in Canada. And when I was a boy, if you went to the penitentiary, that was part of your sentence, the cat. The strongest of men could only take 3 lashes. They had a doctor standing at their side before they would pass out. So you had 20 years and 13 lashes coming to you. If he actually could take 3 lashes each time he went to the post, he'd have to go to the post 5 times. And can you imagine the terror after the first time? But they had a doctor there to protect them. Of course, they didn't put salve on them. They put salt on them. Killed the germs. But they never forgot it. They never wanted to go back. So you put your 20 years in, but if you hadn't taken the cat, you didn't get out. When these Roman soldiers used the cat, they were experts. The scorpion, as they called it. They literally flayed you alive. Pilate, of course, was looking to have him released, hoping that this would do it. The other men were not flayed. They did not receive the scorpion. But our Lord did. And we read in Isaiah 52, verse 14. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The literal rendering being, he was not recognizable as a human being when they got through with him. This was the physical suffering. But that is nothing to what he went through in those last 3 hours. Personally, I believe that's when all of the bones came out of joint, his writhing on that cross. What a fearful suffering he did for you and for me. But friend, if you're not saved, you're going to have to go through eternal damnation, eternal fires, and they don't stop. There's no end to it. And how fierce and terrible hell must be when God let his son go through that for you and for me. What a wonderful Savior we have. All right, let us read the chapter 9, 2 Samuel. And David said, first verse, and David said, is there any who is left of the house of Saul that I might may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? There was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there yet not any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan yet hath a son, who is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto him, unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Emiel, in Lodabar. Let's turn this on and see just where Lodabar is. Now, if you were of the preceding king, that family, you know what you did? You ran for your life. And to this day, in the Middle East and many other places, when another group takes power, your life isn't worth a plug nickel. You get as far away as you can in the most inconspicuous places you can. And this man was crippled. See if I can find a button here. All right. Here's Jerusalem. That's where the king would be. We go way up here. Not only on this side of the river, we have to go to the other side of the river, and there's Lodabar, the place of no pasture, no food. Undoubtedly a very barren place. But he thought he was safe. But you and I, you know, before we were saved, we thought nobody knew our sins either. We knew them. But God knows about every last one of us. Our secret sins, sins that just pass through the mind, God knows all about it. In fact, he knew about it before this universe was created. That's his foreknowledge. But brothers and sisters and friends, he didn't make you do whatever you do. You have a free will, yes or no. Other than that, you would be nothing but a puppet. God wants men for what? What? Fellowship. You cannot have fellowship with a puppet. All right, the next verse, verse 5. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Emiel, from Lodabar. Now, Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. He fell on his face and did obeisance. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. Now I dare say Mephibosheth thought he was a dead man. In many cases over there, they don't only kill those that are their enemies, they destroy their own family, for fear that brothers might try to take over the kingship or the leadership. And here he was the son or the grandson of a man that had chased him for years, seeking his life. And he said, this kindness was for what? For Jonathan, thy father's sake. You and I are righteous in the sight of God because of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of anything in ourselves. Thy father, Sir Jonathan, for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore unto thee, restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat at my table continually. He bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon a dead dog as I am? You know, some of these preachers have, what do they have after the name? DD? I have DD after my name too, but they're little D's. Dead dog. And I think some of them ought to realize it's the same situation with them. Reverend, not only reverend, right reverend, right reverend. But what does it say about God? Holy and reverend is his name. Who is any man or woman the right to take reverend to their name? Now the Roman church, the Confraternity Douay Bible uses a different word, but this memory of mine is about blank. But when you find out what that word means, you know what the word means? Reverend, so it's the same thing. That's their excuse. They can call their people reverend. But the word they use means the same thing as reverend. Verse 9, then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant. He said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits of thy master's son, have fruit to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Michah. And what that means is who is like Jehovah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat regularly at the king's table, and he was lame on both his feet. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Now, before we go any farther, I'll probably forget this if I do. In chapter 5, verse 8, the latter part. The blind and lame shall not come into the house, David's house, and the tabernacle as well. David evidently had no use for cripples. Of course, that's a picture of the lost. But you remember when Ziba came into the house, he was crippled not in one foot, he was crippled in both. Now, whether he could struggle in on his own, or someone had to help him, or whether he used crutches, maybe he had to be carried. But when he sat at the table, what can we say? We couldn't see his feet. We couldn't see his shortcomings, his weaknesses. Once we have trusted Christ as Savior, God sees us as though we were his son. He sees us through his son. If he dealt with us and our lives as they are, it would be just too bad for each one of us. And if we're honest with ourselves, why did the Lord God even bother with us? I dare say if we're honest with one another, if we had to put up with the same shenanigans that some of us have been involved in and even thought about, we just get rid of them and start over. If there'd been no sin, though, all of us would know, like we know today, that God is love but we would never know the extent of that love. And we see it at Calvary. His love was so great, he paid that price that which you and I could never pay. King David is a picture of the Lord in that case. Mephibosheth is a picture of ourselves, absolutely helpless. And we were all in a far-off place at one time. Now we'll go through a few things. I used to have a lot more verses. I have them here, but we don't want to run all over. And I certainly can't quote them anymore. Some of them, yeah. But I'd rather we can see them. Now, in Genesis 3 and 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Before we were saved, we kept out of sight of anything that was godly, didn't we? Even though our parents sent us to Sunday school, a good part of us didn't want to go. We went because we were saved. And I'll be absolutely honest, I was saved when I was 9. And I understood salvation long before that. And I believe to this day, if I hadn't trusted the Lord when I did, the Holy Spirit may have stopped speaking to me. And if there's anyone in here that the Holy Spirit is speaking to and you're not saved, you're not going to get saved when you want to be saved. You're going to be saved when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And he also says in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. All right? Now we see some people saved 99, 98. But maybe they just began to understand what the Word of God meant. Now we know others that were saved at 5, and they went on for the Lord wondrously. Some stumbled along the way, but usually they got themselves straightened out. You know we're God's children once we're saved. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. Doesn't say anything about scourging the next door neighbor's children. Behold, happy is the man whom God scourgeth or chasteneth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. So when we do something wrong and the Lord chastens us or corrects us, we ought to be happy. And he can put a heavy hand on you. You won't forget it. It may even be mental, psychologically, he'll get you. You and I know when we're wrong. And we have to be spanked occasionally. But the Lord God will give us plenty of rope to hang ourselves, if you will. And then when he corrects, there is no excuse whatsoever. Well, this young man was hiding, essentially in Lodabar. We find it all the way back in the Garden of Eden, trying to stay away from the Lord God. One sin. And they feared to face the Lord. Because he was what? Holy and righteous is his name. We find in verse 4 that he was in the place of destitution, place of no bread. Psalm 66, or 68, 6c, but the rebellious shall dwell in a dry land. Isaiah 53, 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, all of us at one time or another. And even the child of God can fall. How many of us stop and realize that the epistles are not written to the unsaved? The epistles are written to God's people, those that belong to God's family. And it's there we learn about the sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. We find it time and again. The child of God falls. Every day there's things that pass through our lives that we have to confess. Now, God doesn't say confess and then beg for salvation or forgiveness. You've already got the salvation. Confess it. Some will do it this way. Lord, forgive me for my sins for the day. My, oh my. That doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You enumerate them. Mention each one of them. And you know something? It's a little harder to do it the next time. But when you just use a general term, my sins, too easy to fall back into what you were doing. He was in a dry land, a dry place, a place of destitution. And Psalms 44, 6a, he feedeth on ashes. That's what the lost feed on. All the garbage that goes on in the world. We find his helplessness. He had no strength. Romans 5 and 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And what does that mean, the ungodly? We are made holy and unblameable and unreprovable. We're a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's look in our Bibles. I should be able to quote this, but I'm not going to take the chance. 1 John. First John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Why? Because it knew him not. Beloved, now, not another day, another time, now are we the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, personally, I believe that we'll all be able to identify one another. But we will be like him in every aspect. Other than the fact that he's God. He's the creator. We're not. We're the created creatures. You know, you wonder sometimes how that Lucifer, the highest of the angels, he's certainly smart. How did he ever think that he could defeat his creator? You know, that would be like you and me making a little statue out of wood. And then that statue, we bow down to the statue or the lost one. The statue should be bowing to us and saying, we bow to God. He made us. We trust him as our Savior. And without that, we have nothing. Every man, verse 3, that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That should be the desire of our heart day by day, to be more like our Savior. We find in 1 Peter, if I'm not mistaken, 1:21 or 2:21, we're to do what? Walk in his footsteps or footprints. We don't walk in them, excuse me. We follow them. The scripture says we follow them. We can't walk in them. You ever watch a little child in the snow trying to follow in his mother or father's footsteps? They try, but they can't quite do it. They can't reach them if nothing else. We can't walk in Christ's footsteps. We can follow them. Then down a little farther, well, we can go back to verse 1 for one thing. The love of David. David's purpose, the love of God. David would show the kindness to the enemy. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then if we were to go to the 10th verse, here in his love, not, I'm going to mess that one up. I should know it. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be what? The propitiation, the substitute for each of us. He became our sacrifice. Hebrews 2:9, the last part of it, he tasted death for every man. Not some man, every man. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath for us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. What, know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, if the Holy Spirit indwells us, then we should walk as becometh God. We're sons and daughters of God, then we're what? Princes and princesses of the King, King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, normally, you know, you look at those in the monarchy, you should be able to look up to them. It's sad to say some of the things that are going on with the English monarchy today. That must be a heartbreak to Queen Elizabeth. She didn't want to be queen. Her father did not want to be king. But God saw to it that he was. His brother that was trained and set to be the king, had the natural way with the people, natural way of speaking. Do you know that he was all for Hitler? He believed what Hitler was doing was right. But God saw to it that he was taken out of the picture. And George, who stammered and stuttered, had to learn to speak properly. But he was loyal to his country. You and I should be loyal to our God. We have two citizenships, really. We have one here, but we have a heavenly one. The heavenly one comes first. God takes the first step, Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, what? Holy and without blame before him in love. What a wonderful thought we have. We have been accepted in the Beloved. If we're accepted in the Beloved, we're accepted as the Beloved then. God treats us like he treats his son. That's hard to believe. And then we go to the next chapter, the same verse 6. We have been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God sees us as though we were already there. Amazing. Romans 8:28-29. We know all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord or love God. To them that are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. But you and I are going to be raised in perfection as well. He didn't have to be raised in perfection. He was already perfect. He didn't have to go through the article of death. But woe betide us if he hadn't. Then, of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did he love? He loved the world. That means he loved everyone in it. He gave his only begotten or unique son. There's not another son like him in the universe. There's not another person like him in the universe. He's both God and man. God the Father is spirit. God the Holy Spirit is spirit. So the Lord Jesus Christ is unique. He stands alone. Some of my printing I can't see too well. Love was gracious. (laughs) It sought, I forgot to put a T in there, it sought the undeserving and offered favor to the enemies. We were God's enemy, and yet he offered favor to us. He offered us life, eternal life. Romans 10:14-15. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the glad tidings of good things. And then John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Then what? We're ordained to go out and preach the gospel. We don't have to have the ordination of men. Good, most of them have heard this story. Mr. Dashfield, he was one of the well-known atheists of his day. And in England, you can preach anything you want as long as you don't try to preach the overthrow of the government. And he was exceptionally intelligent. When he got saved, he went to every country in the world trying to undo what he had done. He came back home. He sold everything that he had. He ended up in Russia three times. Three times they had him in the Kremlin to take his life. And God saw to it that he escaped each time. And then a fourth time he was in there. But you know, all that he had spoken before he got saved, he could never undo it. Why? How many of the people that he had spoken to prior to being saved would ever hear what he said afterwards? So all that we have done before, all the damage that it's even doing today, thank the Lord, before I was saved and when I was quite young, I didn't talk very much. You didn't get any more out of me than you asked for. And the teachers couldn't believe how short of answers I could give them. And my wife can tell you that I was very short on our telephone calls. Not a whole lot was said on the phone, and I'd say goodbye. Maybe it's too bad it isn't that way today, maybe. But if you don't talk too much, you haven't done too much damage verbally. But you know, we got into mischief up to our ears. If my mother had known some of the things that we did, she'd have had gray hair long before she did. And we can thank the Lord God. If it wasn't for the Lord himself, children would never grow up. My sons, I knew they got into some mischief. I knew that they had a fight occasionally. But as they grew up, I found out there was a whole lot more went on that I didn't know. But the Lord knew. And you marvel how he takes care of us. And even like David, how many times do we wonder why the rich man or the bad man has everything? Everything goes well for him. Yeah, this is the only place it's going to go well. Unless he trusts Christ before he passes out of this scene. And in the majority of cases, it never happens. Sad to say. But you and I, our hearts should be broken as to all of those that are on that broad road. The numbers stagger you. In Christendom, Billy Graham made the statement years ago, and talking with Jerry Farwell one time down on Broad Street, he made the same statement. Of all of the people that come forward at their altar call, if 2% are truly saved, they'll be fortunate. You say, then was it worth it? Yes, even if even one got saved, it was worth it. But they have to hear the gospel. We have to tell it. That's our place. Our place is to sow the seed. Water it with prayer, and the Holy Spirit will take care of it. You and I can save no man or woman. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things that are good for us? But you know, as children of the Lord, we can ask for things that can hurt us. During the Korean thing episode, I didn't know the young man, but he was off on furlough, rushing back to the base, and big automobile crash. And the doctors worked on him for over a year. They said he wouldn't live. He was saved, thank the Lord. His mother was saved, and his mother was adamant that that boy would live. And she kept it before the Lord. The boy lived. It wasn't too many years before when the mother realized her mistake. She was getting up in years. Now who's going to take care of my boy? She should have left it in the Lord's hands. The boy would have been waiting for with the Lord. But friends, the first one I want to see when I get to glory, there's lots of them I'd like to see. The first one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Second Peter 1:3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What's a little bit here on Mephibosheth's faith and the salvation he enjoyed? What if he hadn't come? He would have lived in misery the rest of his life. And he would have always been fearful of what the king might do. He believed the message. John 11:28. And when she had said, that's Mary, or Martha rather, had said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the master's come and calleth for thee. It was mentioned earlier that Ray Zan will be speaking next Sunday here, Lord willing. When his father, he prayed, when he got up and prayed at a prayer meeting, you felt the Lord was standing right there in front of him, speaking with him. Mr. Zander was quite wealthy, and when the Lord took him home, he had very little. He'd given it almost all to the Lord and to the Lord's work. But what he said, just before passing into the Lord's presence, I shall know him by the nail prints in his hands. No mistaken. There's only one that has those nail prints. And the wound in the side. The awful scars on the skull. All of us, I think, at one time or another have worked with roses. They have thorns, don't they? You ever get one in your hand and stuck into the bone? And you know, that's just a tiny fraction, not even a 16th of an inch. And oh, how it hurts. Those thorns were like this or longer. And they didn't place it on his head gently. What did it say? They took a rod and they struck it. They drove it down onto his head. And there wasn't a word out of him. What a wonderful Savior. We'll know him by those scars as well. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have peace as well. Now you wonder how. There can be wars all around us. We can be hurting. All things can hurt us. But we inside, we have peace with God. We have the peace of God, and we have the peace with God. Most saved Well, all saved have peace with God. They have the other two, but how many realize they have it? The peace of God. No matter what happens, we rest in Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth or trusteth in Him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. For God sent Him not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. If you're not saved, friend, you're already condemned. You don't have to wait before you stand at the great white throne. You don't want to stand in front of the great white throne. You stand there, that is just the final official sentencing. Then it's the lake of fire for eternity. John 6:37, the B part. Him that cometh unto me, I will not cast out. Romans 10:9-10, we've quoted it a little early. He that confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, don't know, I haven't got it started right. Tell me what it is. Huh? That's it. The first word's all I need. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt what? Be saved. And we do what? We confess. Why do we confess? That the world might know. But that which is in our heart, God knows. And it's sad that many sound Christians keep it secret. What if the Lord God keeps you and I secret at that final day? If we were given $1 million, most of us would be telling somebody. And some of us might be pretty tight. We wouldn't want anybody to know we had it. A lot of problems would come along with it. But we would rejoice in having it. We'd rejoice in what we could do with it, or we should. Everything that we have belongs to the Lord. We're His, and everything we got is His, or should be. He gave everything that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. Mephibosheth came into a wonderful place, a wonderful situation. Of course, later we find that there was a liar by the name of Ziba, and part of his holdings were taken from him. I don't know why David didn't search the situation out, but we know it took place. But David wasn't God. Our Lord doesn't make mistakes. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we speak to Thee again because of the work that our blessed Lord has done, what He has accomplished and is accomplishing. The work of salvation is complete, but there is another work that He's taking care of on the part of each of us. He's our advocate or lawyer. He represents us. And sad to say, there are times He has to tell the Father, I paid for that. We thank Thee for it, though. We thank Thee for the wonder that we're even accepted into the family of God, let alone made co-heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that closeness, may we never call Him by His given name. He's still Lord. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father. We just ask now that Thou would be with each of us. Take us all to our several homes in safety. Peace be with you.